Good morning. It's 7:35. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown. A congressional hearing brought federal lawmakers to Charleston yesterday to hear firsthand from state and local officials about their handling of the Elk River chemical spill. As Ashton Mara reports, members of Congress told those gathered they will use the information to craft legislation at the federal level to prevent future spills.
The two-hour field hearing by the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure began with opening remarks where witnesses recounted their company's or agency's response immediately following the discovery of the leak. But some committee members, including Congressman Nick Rahal and Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito, as well as Senator Joe Manchin, pointed out representatives from Freedom Industries were not there to testify.
Mr. Chairman, there is an odor emanating from Freedom Industries, and it's not licorice. We cannot legislate morality into the billionaire corporate boardrooms where shell game playing abounds.
Their decision not to testify today compounds its gross misconduct and is an absolute affront to every person impacted by the spill.
First of all, it's just unconscionable that Freedom Industry could not have known about the leak, did not report the leak, and did not know how much the leak had happened. It's unconscionable to me to believe that.
Freedom President Gary Southern was invited to testify but was not present. As questioning began, committee members focused on what is no doubt on the minds of almost every West Virginia American Water customer. Is the water safe? Capito posed that question first to Jeff McIntyre, president of the water company, and next to Dr. Letitia Tierney, commissioner for the Bureau for Public Health.
Is the water safe to drink?
As a water company, we don't set the safe standards. But we are in compliance with all the standards set by the health-based agencies like the CDC, the West Virginia Bureau of Public Health, and we have been since the 13th of January.
Her metaphor did not sit well, however, with Senator Manchin.
Do you understand they all sign a waiver?
Yes.
They sign a waiver of the danger to hold nobody responsible. We shouldn't have to sign a waiver to drink our water.
Still, the question persisted throughout the hearing, being avoided by most witnesses. Committee Chairman Bill Schuster of Pennsylvania.
Nobody's willing to say that the water is safe, categorically say it's safe. I'm not going to ask you again because I think everybody's going to dance around the question. And I don't know exactly why, but I suspect the main reason why is everybody's afraid they're going to get sued.
Members of the committee expressed concern about public health, particularly the effects seen in area schools over the past week. McIntyre was again questioned by Congressman Rahal.
Here, a full month after the incident started, there have been reports of fumes in the schools. Are you helping? What are those fumes coming from, first of all?
I don't know, sir. I can't answer that question. The National Guard has been the agency that's been actively involved in sampling the schools, and all I can tell you is the sample results that I've seen before and after these events are at non-detect levels, but I can't speak to those events. I don't have any direct knowledge.
Director of the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, Jimmy Jeanette, testified National Guard teams were finding issues concentrated in school cafeterias where large amounts of water were being heated to wash dishes. But Jeanette, like McIntyre, urged schools were all testing well below the CDC recommended health standard. Through all the remarks and questioning, lawmakers focused on restoring the public's trust in the water. Some have proposed doing so through legislation designed to prevent future spills. Senator Manchin introduced legislation in the Senate last month regulating above-ground storage facilities, and Representative Capito planned to introduce her version in the House last night. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Yesterday at the state capitol, the Senate passed two bills while the House passed three. As Aaron Payne reports, the House is closer to voting on a bill to increase the minimum wage, while the Senate looked at a resolution that would make agendas available sooner to the public.
Senate Resolution 12 would require bills to be put on committee agendas 24 hours prior to the meeting. The resolution was rejected with a voice vote. Senator Chris Walters asked for a roll call vote to reconsider the resolution, saying that it would allow them to better serve their constituents, providing time for their voices to be heard.
As a senator, I would try to do everything I can to read the bills, to understand the bills, to be able to deliberate on them, and to study legislation. Last week, there was a bill that was introduced on the blue list of this floor. And then an hour later in committee, it was on the committee to be discussed. That bill is over 20 pages long. I had no ability through that time to know that it was on that committee's agenda and then to really study the bill, to be able to deliberate on it, to be able to make phone calls to ask about unintentional consequences, to be able to bring in an expert to speak to it or against the bill.
However, the majority of the Senate did not agree as the resolution was rejected 11-23. Meanwhile, the House had a bill on first reading proposing a minimum wage increase in West Virginia. Currently, the minimum wage is $7.25 per hour. The House Finance Committee amended the original bill to increase minimum wage by 75 cents to $8 per hour by January of 2015, and then add another 75 cents by January of 2016 to total $8.75. The amendment delayed those changes from July 2014 and 2015, respectively, so that businesses could have time to budget for the increase. The chairman of the Finance Committee, Brent Boggs, says that the introduced version of the bill that only increased the minimum wage to $8.25 didn't go far enough to provide relief for families relying on minimum wage jobs.
The need is great, and I know that there's always going to be issues about cost to businesses. I mean, certainly that goes without saying, but if you look at the overall, this will probably affect 100,000 West Virginia workers, many of whom there's no way under the current minimum wage they're able to get by. And even by raising it 75 cents in 15 and 75 cents in 16, it still is a far cry from being the kind of a wage that's livable for a family and to support a family.
The bill will be up for vote on Wednesday. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Aaron Payne in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:42. Karen Bowling was appointed the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Resources on July the 1st of last year. She began her career as an emergency room nurse in a rural hospital in Wyoming County, rising to become CEO of Raleigh General Hospital in Beckley in 2001. Bowling attended yesterday's congressional hearing and spoke with Beth Voorhees on the program The Legislature Today last night.
Beth, I think the main takeaway is the importance of this issue and the fact that the congressional delegation and the committee was here in West Virginia listening to West Virginians. And I think that's extremely important. It's very, I think, critical that everyone understand the position that the people in West Virginia have been placed in. I mean, this has been a crisis for us.
Do you think the water is safe to drink?
That's an interesting question. I believe that, as indicated by all the experts, that the water is protective of the public health. I mean, we've been told by the CDC and health officials that, you know, it's fine to drink the water. It's fine to bathe in the water. It's fine to use the water. But I understand the concerns of the citizens. I mean, when you place yourself in their position, because of the fact there was little known about this chemical and because all of this is a calculation, a scientific calculation, I understand that, everyone doesn't feel confident. And our goal, really, because we worry about the health and well-being of the people here in the state of West Virginia, mm-hmm. is to restore that confidence. And I think the challenge is using the word safe. When we talk about we can use the water and it's acceptable to use the water, it's really, I think, a very challenging word mm-hmm. to use in this situation, because the experts from the CDC continue to use the word protective of the public health. And I think that's the word that seems to resonate with us, as the public officials.
So it's really up to us to decide how far we want to go in using this water.
I would agree with that, but also say that I'm careful of that, because I think that people take that and say that we don't care, that, okay. That we're not interested in how they feel. And, just as a nurse, I'm very interested in how people feel. I understand that this is an area of concern. And so I think that we continue to be confident in the science. We use the CDC, we use the experts. The calculation was certainly put together based on, a panel that, we were told by the CDC had 200 years of toxicology experience. And so I think we feel confident in that information because we understand it. Along the same lines, there, obviously are many people who are saying to themselves, but this is my child and this is my elderly parent. And so what should I do? And I think that, that's where the challenge is yes, it is a decision that people have to make, but our job is really to help them to make that decision by providing as much information as possible and being transparent in that.
During the news briefings during this crisis, you were careful not to attribute any illnesses to the chemical leak. What can you tell us now? Have there been illnesses that are directly attributable to this chemical?
Let me tell you what's going on in that arena. We have epidemiologists from our public health as well as the CDC who are doing a very extensive chart review of individuals who identified when they presented to the emergency room or presented to a physician or anyone that reported the information to us. And that chart review is an effort to try to understand all of the things that occurred. We don't know at this point in time because we're not finished with that evaluation. Now, once we are finished with that evaluation, the epidemiologists will work together to create findings. And those findings will be public findings. Whether or not they can attribute some sort of causation, I can't say because I'm not part of that team. But what I can say is that as they look to this, we will be able to provide information about what that chart review has indicated, the types of symptoms that people present with, and that will also give us a good perspective about, all right, what is our plan going forward? How do we need to make sure that we're looking at what impact this may or may not have going forward? And so I'm very, very optimistic that we'll get a good information, baseline information from that chart review that will help us plan going forward in a systematic way.
As you continue to contemplate this event, do you still have questions in your mind that you want answers to that you haven't gotten answers to yet?
I think the main question that that we all need to be thinking about is what could we have done to prevent this? And I think that that's what why we have people in the legislature, the governor's office, as well as on the federal level saying, what do we need to do differently to ensure this doesn't happen again? And I think those are the main questions. As far as Freedom Industry goes, obviously today they were absent from the hearing. There should be questions to them. But I think from our perspective, it's more a matter of doing an analysis of really specifically what did we learn, what do we need to do differently going forward, and what kind of legislation is really going to be necessary. And I know there are versions of legislation out there mm-hmm. to help us to ensure that this doesn't happen again, because from a public health perspective, we are responsible for safe drinking water. And I can tell you that the individuals in public health take that very serious.
Karen Bowling, Secretary of DHHR, thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth.
Last Friday, two nonprofit groups and two Charleston area residents filed an emergency petition with the state Supreme Court against the DHHR, accusing that agency and the Department of Environmental Protection of ignoring steps that could have been taken to prevent the chemical spill. There's no word yet on when the court will take up the case. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. Our director is Bob Powell. I am Beneduccio. Good morning.